T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour numero dos is on your radio. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is ESPN Upstate 97.7 FM, Greenville 97.1 FM, Spartanburg. Great to be with you again. I am Rob Brown. My man Diesel back in the network studio pushing the button, switching the switches, having all the fun all by his lonesome back there at the Palatial Radio Ranch. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for being a part of the program. Hope you are enjoying it as much as I am, or at least am enjoying bringing it to you. A lot of stuff to get to in hour number two. Back in hour number one, talked a little to Rod Taylor, talked a little bit about Drew Brees on the flip side. Had a lot of fun talking about that. No, we talked a little bit. I know Mark said yesterday that he was washed and that he would never win another Super Bowl. I argue that the numbers say otherwise. Although I will acknowledge, you know, Mark Ryan said he said something back in Florida when we worked together back in the day down in the Florida Panhandle. He said something to me that I found very interesting. Mark Ryan said at one point that statistics, and I'm sure he said this since then, here in the upstate, he said that statistics are kind of like a bikini in that they show everything, or they don't show everything. They leave some to the imagination, but they show parts that you want to get to check out. And he's not wrong in that case. I don't base everything on statistics, but I mean, again, just go back and look. Multiple 13-3 records, 3 trips to the playoffs in 3 consecutive years, an 83.3% accuracy rating when no other quarterback is in that ballpark. I mean, I don't know what else that you're looking forward to. I don't know what else you're looking at. So we can talk more about that if you want to. 71307 is the text line. 71307. Start your text with ESPN. You can also call the program at 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the phone number to jump on board with us today. You can also give us a buzz on the Twitter line. The Twitter handle is at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show. You can get at us at ESPN Upstate, at Diesel on Radio, are all different ways that you can get in touch with the program. If you did not watch the game last night between the Lakers and the Nuggets, man, you missed a good one. Jamal Murray is a man. Jokic is a man. Here's how it ended.
Caruso will get the final basket, and that'll take us to the finish line. And Denver with a hard-fought 8-point win in Game 3. Nikola Jokic, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Jamal Murray, 28 points, 12 assists. Comes 2 rebounds shy of a triple-double. And, fellas, we got ourselves a series now. It's 2-1 Lakers.
So, first and foremost, Diesel, I don't know if you caught that. I recorded that by holding a tin can with a string, one end to my TV and one end to a tape recorder from the 1990s. I had to go find the only working Radio Shack in America to purchase that. And then pulled one tin can tight from the TV to the tape recorder. That's how I recorded that audio. Pretty solid, huh? Quality. Anyway, it came, it was all over, at least it felt all over. Late in the game, my dude Jamal Murray gets the ball at the top of the key. He's working on Caruso. He's got the Joker up there. He's got the Joker up there setting picks for him. And then this happens.
How about Murray? Oh, just pouring exclamation point. Wow, from way downtown.
Jamal Murray with a step back three on Alex Caruso from about 4 feet outside of the three-point line. And that thing, I don't even think it touched string on the way down. It just popped right through the bottom of the net. It was a beautiful shot. It was about as good of a shot as you could have asked for. It was unbelievable. Jamal Murray was Mr. Clutch in that game. Just Mr. Clutch in that game yesterday. I enjoyed it tremendously. That was about as fun of a game as you could ask for game number three, especially for Murray and the Joker to find a way to pull up level in that series with LeBron and his Lakers. This playoffs, man, it's like I've been saying this the whole time, and I'm going to stick with it. If you have been watching these NBA playoffs, you have been, I got to think, you have been thoroughly entertained, and it continues into the conference finals. In fact, this series, I think, you know, we all came into this, and I think most of us thought that the Lakers were going to run away with this thing. I know most people had the Lakers picked. I saw a handful of people picking a sweep. I saw a handful more saying Lakers in five, and it still may very well go Lakers in five. Look, love it or not, LeBron James still has a little bit of takeover games left in him, right? LeBron still got that edge inside of him where he can take over a game. And I would keep an eye out for that, man. This is the point where you get LeBron. In fact, you saw it in game two. You saw it in game number two, right? In game two, the rest of the squad wasn't able to get anything going. The shots weren't falling. Things weren't happening. And so LeBron got more aggressive. I have got to suspect that the same will happen for LeBron James in Game 5. Will it be enough? I don't know. But Anthony Davis all but disappeared in the second half. I think he had like four rebounds and just a handful of points in that second half, right? It wasn't good. All right, Anthony Davis disappeared. AD was supposed to be the guy that complimented LeBron James, and last night he just disappeared. Jamal Murray and the Joker, on the other hand, are working like Batman and Robin right now. I mean, just fluid back and forth, combinations back and forth. Everything is going right for the Nuggets in game four. In game three. And the Lakers had no answer for them at all. I mean, it was just every time down the pitch, Jamal Murray was in charge of that game. I don't know what else the Lakers could have done. They pulled in tight. I mean, at one point, the Nugs were up like 16. And then I turn around, I walk, I go to the bathroom, I grab myself a soda. I get back to the couch. And all of a sudden, the Lakers are within four. And you start thinking, okay, the Nuggets are a young team. The Nuggets are an inexperienced team. Jamal Murray is really the only guy on that roster that's a high draft pick. The rest is developmental players. And because they are young guys and developmental players, they're not going to be able to have the headstrong mentality that a very experienced Laker does. LeBron has won more games in the playoffs himself than the entire Nuggets organization has throughout its history of 45-plus years at this point. They have got more experience. They are more comfortable in those big spots. And last night did not matter. Last night, the Denver Nuggets hit the big shots in the clutch when the Lakers tripped up, and it was fantastic to watch. If you are not watching these NBA playoffs, for whatever reason, right? We know the ratings are down, and a lot of people are just not watching them. But whatever your reason is, if you're not watching because you don't like the social justice protest, if you're not watching because you think it's boring, if you're not watching because you miss the smoke and the laser and the pyro and all that, whatever your reason for not watching, I am telling you as a sports fan, if there is any love for the game of basketball in your heart, you need to start watching these playoffs because they are incredible right now. They are incredible right now. You are looking at a series in which LeBron's Lakers, they were supposed to be the king. This was supposed to be less of a playoffs and more of a coronation, okay, for the Lakers and LeBron James. Not so fast, my friend, as the great Lee Corso would say. Not so fast, my friend. Instead, you've got a young upstart Denver Nuggets team that has taken a completely counter approach to what the LA Lakers do. The Lakers are the Yanks. They go out there, they buy their pieces and parts. We need a point guard. Let's go get Rajon Rondo. We need to compliment LeBron James. Let's swindle the Pelicans and go get Anthony Davis. We need to bring in a big man. Let's go get Dwight Howard and the old defensive center that he still has the potential to be. Let's go get all those cats, buy our roster, and make a run for a championship. The Nuggets, on the other hand, the Nuggets are captain everyman. Listen, I love LeBron, all right? I love LeBron. I like his game. I like his style. I like that he has been the face of the not just the franchise, but the face of the NBA for as long as he has. I think LeBron James is the best basketball player of all time. Slow your roll, MJ fans. We can have that conversation another day. But I got to tell you, I have found myself rooting for the Denver Nuggets in this series. I have found myself rooting for the Nuggets against the evil empire of the L.A. Lakers because the L.A. Lakers bought their team, put together a team by swindling the league, whereas the Denver Nuggets said, we're going to develop guys in the G League. We're going to develop guys within our program. We are going to let this program build organically, develop its own chemistry, and it has worked, and it has been fun. All of the sudden, the Joker and Murray are superstars in this league, and they are superstars because the Nuggets built them into superstars. They didn't wait for them to develop on somebody else's dime and then trade away half their roster to get a superstar. They built their own superstars. They went and found them, turned them into these cats, and it is working. This series is so far from over that it is incredible to watch. It is incredible to watch. Over on the other side, you got the Celtics and the Heat going at it tonight. Those two teams are going to be fun to watch. The Celtics are down 2-1, but they looked incredible in Game 3 against the Heat. I mean, they just were doing what they wanted. Will they be able to do it again, or will the Heat revamp? Remember, the Heat, I think, are arguably playing the best team basketball in these entire NBA playoffs right now. I mean, just playing as a squad up. They are fun to watch. If you are not watching the NBA playoffs right now, you are missing out on what I think has been the most entertaining NBA playoffs maybe of my lifetime. Maybe of my lifetime. I told y'all last week, basketball is my sport. I love the game of basketball. I think it's a beautiful game. And this NBA playoffs is good for one primary reason. It is because this is basketball only. There's no travel. There's no distractions except when these guys create one. There's nothing but the game. There's no having to communicate over fans. There's no having to navigate the waters of a hostile territory. You're not having to figure out how to shoot on an opponent's rim. None of that. You are playing the same games in the same gym, in the same room, in the same resort as every other team, and it is incredible. That game last night proved it. Quick break when we come back here in just a minute. Despite struggling off the mound, your Atlanta Braves are the champions of the NL East as they put the Marlins to bed yesterday and take that division with 5 games left to play. Let's take a look at how they got here and where they're going. Are the Braves primed for a playoff run? Or can fans go ahead and start mentally preparing themselves for another collapse? We'll talk about that when we come back in a minute on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Robin Diesel with you on a Wednesday afternoon, rolling towards the football weekend. But on Wednesday, we take a break from that. Colin Bester had a doctor's appointment. Those of you who tuned in to hear our weekly NASCAR segment, Colin had a doctor's appointment today, so he is unable to make the show today. So Colin will join us either tomorrow or Friday. We'll break down last week's race at Bristol as we head to Vegas this weekend. Coming up at 2:20 this afternoon, Miss Savannah Lee from the Brunswick News. She is our PGA Tour insider. Savannah will join us to own her pick. She did not pick Bryson DeChambeau, and we're going to have some fun with her coming up at 2:20 about that. Though she did put a hex on my man Phil Mickelson, who missed the cut, along with my pick to miss the cut, Eldrick Tiger Woods, over the weekend. So we will talk about that with Savannah Lee coming up at 2:20. But I wanted to talk a little baseball here and talk a little Atlanta Braves. Yesterday, the Braves were able to put away the Marlins, and in doing so, were able to find their way to the top of the NL East. The Braves knock off the division as a whole. They came out and basically said, hey, look, it's step number one. This is what that call yesterday sounded like as the Atlanta Braves were able to get the dub and raise the pennant another year in the East.
Strike one to Alfaro, line drive, caught by Freddie Freeman. It's a three-peat for the Braves. They're the champions of the East in 2020.
That was the end of that game. This club looks good. Freddie Freeman on winning that division title.
I think, and it's all said and done, this is kind of the most satisfying with what we had to go through this season to get to this point. It seemed like every day we had someone dropping down, you know, getting hurt. Things just, you know, wasn't going to go right in 2020. I think everybody knows that this year, that 2020 is something else. But we were able to just keep grinding, keep going right. We lost Ronald for 2 weeks. We lost Ozzie for 4 weeks. But, man, every single night we came out here and grinded and battled. And it's amazing with this depth of this organization that we have in this organization to come out here and win the East again for the third straight year. It's great. It's just amazing.
Freddie Freeman says the third is the best yet. Here is the head man in charge, your manager.
This is something else, I'm telling you. You know, just from the get-go, I think maybe the 3 months off probably wore us out more than we thought. And then just kind of overcome everything we did, losing our entire rotation pretty much, and, you know, the injuries, everything. You know, so everybody's going through all that stuff. I'm proud of the guys. I mean, they did a great job. They followed the protocols. Alex talked a lot early on about, you know, it may be the healthiest group is the one that's left standing. You know?
Brian Snicker, manager of the Braves, saying that and the Braves had some struggles this year as they knock off the Marlins 11-1 yesterday, win their third consecutive NL East title. But I don't think that I have ever seen, I don't think I've ever seen a squad that has fans that are as gun-shy of the playoffs as the Atlanta Braves, and rightfully so. I mean, like, it seems every year the Braves take a very solid pitching staff and a fantastic front end of the rotation into the playoffs, and every year they get their hearts broken. It's just kind of the way that it's gone for Atlanta the past few postseasons, and I do not see that changing unless some big changes get made. Now, here is the good news. Although, statistically speaking, this Braves team is just as good as the ones who have won the last three. The question is, will a shortened season have any change on the way that these squads played? And the answer is, I don't know that we can know that, right? I don't know that we can know that. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. When you go look at statistics for these Braves versus the rest of Major League Baseball, when it comes down to hitting, the Braves have an OPS higher than anybody else in the entire Major League Baseball at an 84.3 clip. Through 55 games so far, most every team has played 55. There's a couple of teams that have played 56, a couple that have played 54. And I want to say the Cardinals have not gotten to 54 yet. I want to say the Marlins, by way of a bunch of doubleheaders, have gotten back up to everybody else. I think the Cardinals are the only team that are two or three games out thanks to COVID. But through 55, there is no team with a higher OPS on base plus slugging than the Atlanta Braves. When it comes to straight slugging, in the slugging category, the rate of total bases per at-bat, the Braves are number one in that category as well. When you look at on-base percentage, the rate at which a batter reached base in his plate appearances, the New York Mets are the only team with a better OBP than the Atlanta Braves. And when it comes to overall average, the Atlanta Braves are second in that category as well. The Mets have a 274 team average, the Braves a 272. There is no other team that has better than a 266. The Sox versus both white and red are at 266, as are the Giants. Everybody else in the league is below them. The Atlanta Braves right now are hitting the ball better than anybody else, and they're being rewarded with more plate appearances for it as well. The only team with more at-bats than the Atlanta Braves so far are the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox have been to the plate 1,902 times. The Braves only two times less. They have had exactly 1,900 plate appearances so far. There is no other team in Major League Baseball that has seen the plate over 1,900 times. It is only the Bo Sox and the Bravos that have been at the dish that many times. So in just about every statistical category, with the exception of total hits overall, the Atlanta Braves are leading Major League Baseball. The Braves have scored more runs than anybody else. They have crossed the dish 326 times. The Dodgers and the Padres, two of the best hitting teams in Major League Baseball outside of the Braves, have done it 319 and 302 respectively. No other team, Yankees included, have crossed the dish more than 299 times thus far. In every batting category, the Braves are either first or second place in all of Major League Baseball. They are hitting the ball better than anybody. The only question is going to be the pitching. What happens? What happens if the bats go cold for the Atlanta Braves? Fortunately, Kyle Wright has looked better recently. Max Fried has been dependable. If, as a matter of fact, I said coming into this season that I thought Max Fried would end up being a contender for the Cy Young Award in the National League. I thought that he was a potential Cy Young Award winner this year. And he has looked better this year than I thought he would have midway through the 60-game season. Around 30 games, we had a lot of questions. Max Fried has answered those. Kyle Reed has answered those. The only question about this Braves team, there is only one right now. The only question about this Bravos squad is, will that pitching be consistent? Here is the thing. They have quietly amassed one of the best offenses in Major League Baseball. Like I mentioned, they are number one in just about every statistical category across Major League Baseball, right? So when I look at Atlanta, my question is going to be twofold. Number one, can the lineup stay hot? Ronald Acuna Jr., Dansby Swanson, Freddie Freeman, Marcelo Zuna are arguably, I'm not saying that they are, I'm saying they're arguably the best 1-4 in all of baseball. The top end of that rotation is playing exceptionally well. Will that maintain through the playoffs? If it does, the Braves become a threat. If the pitching stays there, then the Braves are a legitimate threat. If it falls off, they're not. It's very simple. In the playoffs, pitching is your winner or your loser. End of discussion. It is great to carry a lineup that is number one in Major League Baseball across the top of just about every statistical category. It's phenomenal. But if you are giving up five a game and only scoring four, you are toasted, man. You are done. And that is 100% the beginning and the end of it. So, will the Braves be a threat in the NL? They are the highest scoring offense in the league with one exception. They are the highest scoring in the league. They are the highest batting in the league with one or two stats being the exception. This is a dynamic group. The question is, can they continue to perform at a high level? The good news is that these numbers traditionally are not sustainable for months at a time. That's the bad news. The good news is that here's the deal. You don't have to sustain them for months at a time. You got to sustain them for one more. Guys, we're a month away from the World Series. We are a week away from getting the playoffs started. We are a month away from the World Series, right? You don't have to sustain it. The good news for the Braves, even in an expanded playoffs, is that they have hit midseason form, and at midseason form, it's time to jump into the playoffs. If this was a regular season, we would be effectively 37% of the way through, right? We would still be about 5 weeks away from the All-Star break if this was a regular season. But we are killing it right now with pace of play. They are playing exceptionally well. They are playing midseason form, and this time they don't have to carry it for 7 months to hit the playoffs. We are a month away from the World Series. That is the good news. The good news is that this Braves team has all the indicators of a successful World Series team, but they don't have to carry it for as long as they traditionally do, and I am all on board for that. Atlanta is a threat in these playoffs, and not in a way that I think Braves fans need to freak out about. I think Braves fans can be confident heading into this because for the first time in a while, they are set up not for a crash. They are set up to carry momentum into the playoffs instead of coasting into the playoffs and getting knocked out in a disappointing way. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Quick break. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Happy Wednesday, South Carolina. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. A pair of losses in the sports world today, unfortunately. Just before we came on the air, the news broke that NFL Hall of Famer Gale Sayers has passed away. The dazzling Bears running back and kick returner who had an unfortunate career shortened by injuries, but also became the youngest player ever inducted into the Pro Hall of Fame, died after a year-long decline in health that included dementia, just 77 years of age. The Kansas Comet, one of the most agile and elusive ball carriers of all time. Bears founder George Halas back in 1977 said, quote, "If you wish to see perfection as a running back, you had the best get a hold of film of Gale Sayers. He was poetry in motion. His like will never be seen again." Sayers had a dynamic running ability that helped him earn all-pro recognition in each of his first five full seasons. It also left teammates, coaches, and fans and pundits to wonder what he might have accomplished in his football career had knee injuries not ended his career after only seven seasons. The man only played 68 games and was still Hall of Fame caliber. Sayers' legendary athleticism was talked about back in June of last year when the Bears had the Bears 100 celebration. Former teammates tried to make sense of how the electric running back could be the same frail wheelchair-bound man who appeared on stage at that celebration. Johnny Morris, a teammate of Sayers for three seasons back in the 60s, said, quote, If I wanted one running back for a season, I'd take Walter Payton. But if I wanted a player for one play, I'll take Gale Sayers above every running back I've ever seen, whether it be Jim Brown or O.J. Simpson or anybody. He had a knack of being in the air, and he'd swing his leg over and come down in a different direction. That's the best way I can put it. Just 77 years of age, and if you're a young'un, take the advice of your old Uncle Rob. Go to YouTube and look up old YouTube videos of Gale Sayers being Gale Sayers. The dude was phenomenal. Just seven seasons, Sayers amassed 9,435 all-purpose yards, ranks fourth in Bears history behind only Peyton and Matt Forte and return specialist Devin Hester. Gale Sayers once told NFL Films, quote, "Just give me 18 inches of daylight. That's all I need." Gale Sayers was born in May 30th, 1943 in Wichita, Kansas, hence the nickname the Kansas Comet. He was raised in Omaha, Nebraska, and starred in football and track at Omaha Central High. Set the state long jump record of 24 feet, 11 and three quarter inches, and became a two-time All-American in football at Kansas, selected number four in the 1965 draft by the Bears. It was only one spot after the Bears picked future Hall of Fame linebacker Dick Butkus, an All-American out of Illinois. George Halas wrote in his autobiography, "I've never seen anyone run with Gale's agility. No one ever caught him from behind. Butkus was bow-legged. I learned later Butkus had knee injuries in high school and college. Both had rare abilities supported by courage, desire, and spirit." And, quote, Butkus talking about Sayers said at the celebration we talked about a few minutes ago, "I'm looking at this guy with the high tops, and he's running back kickoffs and everything else. I didn't know who in the heck he was, but he was amazing on that game tape. Gale just ran circles around everybody, so they quickly adopted him. He was amazing. I still attribute a lot of my success to trying to tackle him. I never came up against a running back like him in my whole career as far as a halfback. No one could touch the guy." Sayers would go on to set the Bears' single-season touchdown record with 22 as a rookie, 14 rushing, 6 receiving, and 1 each on kickoff and punt returns. He went on to be named the NFL's Rookie of the Year, and his touchdowns record stood until 1975 as the NFL mark for all players, regardless of position or tenure. On December 12th of that season, Sayers scored 6 touchdowns at Muddy Wrigley Field, tying the NFL's single-game record. He carried the ball only 9 times from scrimmage and scored on 4 of those way back in 1965 against the San Francisco 49ers. A tribute put up to that game earlier today by the NFL.
The day of the game, very, very rainy. That particular day, everything went right for Gale Sayers. The 49ers were slipping, the rest of the Bears were slipping, but Gale just walked through everybody.
Sayers recorded one of the NFL's finest single-game performances.
With that game just 2 minutes old and the field slick from rain, Gale Sayers sprints past the prospectors for an 80-yard screen pass, touchdown run.
Once in a generation or a lifetime, the great runner arrives in pro football. He is one of the select few whose number is burned into the memory of every fan.
Gale Sayers, the superstar. He cuts, weaves, stops, and goes. He runs with power and precision.
If I scored 15 touchdowns, hey, it wouldn't be for me, it's for the team.
You may be NFL players, but you're just clowns. You're just highway cones for this guy to run around.
It was a muddy field for everybody but Gale Sayers. They were slipping and sliding. He was running, cutting, stopping, running.
As the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. Watch him now. Sayers, NFL Rookie of the Year. A one-man Gale. Dashing 85 dazzling yards on the longest punt return of the season. Here he is, galloping Gale, carrying the mail. This is his 6th touchdown of the game.
He just blew right through everybody.
He had a return for a touchdown. I know he caught a pass for a touchdown, and I guess he ran for the other 4.
The greatest performance in the National Football League history was that performance.
Pretty good football game. Yeah, I did my thing.
Gale Sayers passing away today at 75 years of age. Rest in power, young man. Quick break. We're back to wrap up hour number 2 of the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Let's spend just a minute. I like talking about the things that are going on on TV. So we've had 2 weeks of Monday Night Football now with our new booth, right? We had we've had the past couple of years that Monday Night Football's booth has just not really had the same feel that it had. You know, we spent the last week talking about this past Monday, the Raiders opening up their new stadium with a dub over the New Orleans Saints on the 50th year to the day anniversary of the first Monday Night Football and the box that they had put together. And I got to tell you, I don't hate the crew that they've put together right now. They ended up with Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, and Lewis Reddick. And ESPN almost kind of feels like they were forced into taking that very vanilla booth. It's not a booth that has a whole ton of character. I think Steve Levy's great on SportsCenter and all the other ESPN work he's done. I think Lewis Reddick is about as tame of a color analyst as you could ask for. Same with Brian Greasy. And ESPN kind of got pushed into that spot, right? The Booger Mobile didn't really work out, and Booger McFarland just seemed too much to make it about him and not the game itself. They put together like a $140 million offer to get Tony Romo in the booth. He decided to stick with CBS and that schedule they gave him. There's been talk about Peyton Manning. There's been talk about Drew Brees. They even tried to get Al Michaels into the Monday Night Football booth, and none of those ever panned out, or at least have not panned out yet, though. Drew Brees already does have plenty of offers to get into a TV booth when he decides to step away from the game. And I suspect that at some point Peyton Manning will end up doing the same. But the question mark is Monday Night Football satisfying where we are right now? I got to tell you, so far through 2 weeks, Levy, Greasy, and Riddick feel to me to be an upgrade over Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland, which I hate to say this because Booger seems like a very, very nice guy. I know he and Mark Ryan had a working relationship down in Florida for a couple of years. Booger's a nice dude. I've talked to him once or twice in my life, and he's always been very cordial, very polite, really nice guy. But as far as Monday Night Football goes, that's not the biggest compliment I have ever put together, unfortunately, right? Especially in a year with all that's going on in 2020, with no fans to kind of distract away from the attention of the booth itself. It seemed like it turned out to be a pretty good decision altogether, right? Now, ESPN2 did something cool that I don't know if anybody caught, but I really enjoyed the way they put together. They put on a secondary broadcast of Monday Night Football, headed by Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit over on ESPN2, and they had a number of guys coming into the booth. They had a number of celebrity guest hosts, Charles Barkley, Peyton Manning. In fact, I have some sound from that because Charles Barkley and Peyton Manning are fantastic on television. They put together a secondary broadcast, so if you wanted a little bit more than just Greasy, Riddick, and Levy, you could tune over to see Reese and Kirk talking about the game, but also talking about sports in general. They had both Peyton Manning and Chuck Barkley on their broadcast, and this came out of it. It was hilarious. And let me get that sound pulled back up. Here's Charles Barkley, Peyton Manning, Reese Davis, and Kirk Herbstreit on the Monday Night Alternate broadcast on ESPN2.
I'm looking forward to the SEC starting, like Kirk said. Tennessee's got Auburn later in the year, Kirk. That was one of our bonus games that was given to us as a gift. Alabama and LSU got Vanderbilt, Kentucky, I think. But we got A&M and Auburn. And, I'll be at Auburn. Charles, if you want to do something right now, kind of make a statement about the game, I'd be glad to give you my thoughts.
Well, you know, in the SEC, we only worry about Alabama and Georgia. Tennessee's like on the back burner. Like, we got our hands full with Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Like, we put y'all, listen, y'all call it a bonus. Y'all were like our preseason schedule, Tennessee, before we get to Alabama and Georgia.
Talking that trash.
Hey, well, you know what? Hey. Chuck's been a long time.
So these two guys were just running smack at each other about Tennessee Auburn. I'll play some more sound from it later where Peyton gave Chuck an old rib about his playing weight, his new playing weight, and Chuck came back after him. It was about as good as you can ask for. I think ESPN made the right call here, right? They gave you a football booth. It was not about Tessitore and Booger. It was the game was about the game in this mashup in that booth, and I think they finally turned a corner and got it right. I mean, look, it wasn't the booth that they wanted to put together, but Levy clearly sounds and feels like he has won some sort of dream contest to be the Monday night guy. Lewis Rake boosted out of everywhere as Levy and Greasy recently formed the number three college team for ESPN. They moved him to Monday Night Football as Greasy wanted to get back to the NFL. Both CBS and Fox turned him down, and ESPN picked him up for the biggest broadcast on all of television, Monday Night Football. It feels like that booth is supposed to feel. Three guys with a little character, three guys with a little bit of personality, but not so much that it overwhelms the game itself. And that broadcast felt natural. That broadcast felt organic, and that broadcast felt like the game was the priority and not entertainment, if that makes sense at all. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. 1 hour left to go. We hit it when we come back here in just a minute. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.